What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Ike Feldman, hanging out with my boy, Mr. Harry Mack Daddy. He's officially taking on the last name of Daddy. You know, some people can change their last names like Chad Johnson to Chad Ochocinco. Yes, there is somebody now, Harry Mack Daddy. He has to update all social media. But
that's right.
If you're trying to follow him before he updates it, at BB Harry Mack, M-A-C, Mack. This dude is on the scene, the local scene, way before Ike, me, showed up. I'm just trying to be a part of the team and, I don't know, be part of the Four Eyes team, which is totally joined. Nobody, Justin Montavo, who is going to be a center of a topic of discussion over the next couple minutes with Harry, wears glasses, but won't publicly join the 4i club, but my fellow member of the 4i club, Mr. Harry Mack, aka Daddy. What's up, brother?
Hey, I'm good, man. I'm good. I appreciate you having me on. It's been a long time coming.
Yes, sir. And thank God. This is like, I'm glad we made it to this point. It's been a couple of weeks in the making, but I'm just glad this is as face to face in 2022 as this is pretty norm. I wanted to do like one of those like quick hitter interviews with the fighters, like when you hear this word, what do you think of normalcy, essentials? And I just want to hear their one word answers, and I think we might get some crazy answers. I wasn't even trying to instigate the man who is fighting this Friday for ROC 75, Dennis Bazukia, who you did an amazing interview with, man.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
The actual notebook style. Like I had a notebook. You had it, the new notebook style.
There you go.
It was very cool. The way you weaved in and out of your questions with humor, with wit, no stutters.
You're making me blush, Ike.
Dude, it was phenomenal. I'm glad that we can connect. But yeah, man, I wasn't even trying to instigate Dennis, and all of a sudden I said the wrong year and he goes into a freaking mass thing and I go, oh my God. I literally told him before the interview, I go, dude, I'm not like these other media members. I'm not going to instigate you or do anything.
doesn't take much sometimes.
I think that's a sign that things are starting to calm down. The cloud of darkness is slowly coming out behind us. And I think a big beginning of that is this weekend with the back-to-back events. You're going to be in Connecticut. Are you going to be in Atlantic City the night before February 18th?
No, I couldn't swing the double trip. I would have loved to, honestly. It would have been awesome. But yeah, I'm going to be up there tomorrow. I'm leaving tomorrow after work. I'll get up there and then be up there Friday morning for the weigh-ins, all that good stuff. Hopefully shoot some stuff with our buddy Kid Marvelous, Justin Montalvo, Aviv Ghazali. It's gonna be a big weekend, man. It's a great weekend of violence.
I'm asking you now, I might have to use some of your footage. I know the Will Harris, Anatomy of the Fighter, the UFC just rip his footage without giving credit.
That sucks.
Rip your footage, I will totally give you credit. For those of you that don't know, I'm doing a little mini documentary on Justin. So yeah, man, if you're doing some Friday stuff, that's going to be awesome. Lucky you could get out there, man. I got a couple of extra limbs going on in my life. I got a baby boy, a wife. I got a couple other things going on, but you are free balling in
priorities.
God bless you, man. You know what? One day, if this back-to-back thing ever happens, we might have to do like a swap carpool. You do a Friday, I do a Saturday, or vice versa.
Okay. Man,
we got to take over. We could do maybe a freaking, if everything lines up, we do one of those Brett Okamoto years ago with Ariel Helwani on ESPN.
Yeah, the little road shows.
All right. Justin Montalvo gets on the scale. He looks a little nervous. Oh, he's falling over. Yes. Have you ever heard those weigh-in shows?
Yeah. The OG like MMA hour, OG Helwani stuff.
Yes.
Pre-Disney.
So how the hell did you get into the mixed martial arts scenes? And are you originally from Long Island?
I am. Yeah. I grew up in Port Washington out here. I'm in Glen Cove these days. This is where cabaret. I'm from. I grew up, and I think, you know, one day I was just like, first of all, I remember my buddy had one of the video games. I think it was like UFC, like one or two. And like we played so much of that shit with, it was the one with like Lesnar on the cover, I think.
Oh, wow. Yeah. 2010 is when it.
Yeah. Yeah. About around that time. And then, yeah, I remember like just scrolling on TV one day, and it was,
hold on.
Like I saw Tough. Oh. Yes, yes, yes. That is the one.
I got it, man. I got it.
Yeah, dude. We used to play so fucking much of that shit. And so then, like, you know, you go home and like, all right, let me type these guys into YouTube, you know? Like, you see all the highlights, you're like, oh, this is fucking dope. And then, like, yeah, you know, then you see Tough and all that stuff. Like, I remember one of the things that got me into MMA, like one of my like earlier experiences watching MMA was, do you remember the show Bully Beatdown on MTV?
Oh, Dan Miller.
It was Mayhem Miller. And dude, they brought in like, they had like Andre Arlovsky fought on that shit. And like Tyron Woodley, like guys who went on to be UFC champions. Yeah. We're fighting like average fucking bums. It was incredible. God. I was like, this is so fucking cool.
Champion freaking fight, that we could get into a very, very deep discussion of fighter pay, but that just says a lot right there.
Yeah, that's a fact. But it was like, holy shit, like these guys, like, you know what I mean, it wasn't even just like just nobody's fighting, it was guys who would go on to be like very, very well-known fighters, you know what I mean? I was like, oh, this is dope as hell. And then I just start following the sport. And yeah, you know, a couple of years ago, a buddy and me, we started this, this little dumb website we do, the Bookie's Basement. And I was like, you know what? Like, I'm just going to like post my way into covering this sport. And we started just like me and my co-host Ross. We would just like basically like, you know, we're like cold calling. We're like sending DMs, sending emails, just like whoever we could get on, you know, and we always like, you know, I'm a Long Island guy. Like, I grew up watching Weidman. Like, that was a big part of, like, why I fell in love with the sport. It was like, you know what? Like, this dude's, like, he's not so different from me other than the fact that he's a genetic freak and, a fucking an athlete and all of those things. But it's like, you know, he's a homegrown Long Island kid, the All-American. Like, I don't know. What's not to love about that story, you know? And then you got Raging Al and Aljo and all these guys. And, yeah, man, it's crazy that I grew up watching these guys, you know, like I came into the sport with like them coming into the sport in their pro careers. And yeah, now getting to like, you know, just rub elbows with some of these guys. And, you know, like, hey, we were hanging out with Weidman at an ROC event in Atlantic City a couple months ago, like, you know, seeing Al and Aljo and Marab and Farola and all these guys at the gym. It's fucking crazy, man. I'm very grateful for everybody who, for some reason, continues to give us the time of day.
100%, man. You hear all these stories, even on Rogan. He talks about Ray Longo, Matt Serra, and you see Matt Serra, who's like,
punch a hole in his fucking chest.
I want you to poke. Yeah, exactly, man. You see Serra, just like local guys, doing a show with Jim Norton. He's like Dana White's best friend. It's like, it's pretty amazing, man. And you just... It's the UFC champs, Chris Weidman, Matt Serra, Aljamain Sterling. I mean, freaking hats off, of course, always to Al Yaquinta for going five rounds with Khabib, the only person to go five rounds with Khabib on a day to notice after training for Paul Felder, UFC 223. Amazing stuff there. And it's like they're within.
He's a legend of the game.
Oh, man, I was kind of a douche in my last interaction with Al Yaquinta. I'm like such a aquatics grandmother, the way I warm up, like I have to like roll around the mat, basically like a Dylan Montello warm up where you're doing your.
Oh, dude, you don't got to tell me. When I go to the gym, I have to spend like 5 minutes just stretching my hips out, or like I will blow one of them out. Like 100%.
Get the hell at it. I'm talking like 40 minutes for me to get loose. And Al's doing bench and he goes, you want to hop in here? And I was like, all these theories, like you see the Hangover when Zach Galifianakis got all the
he's entering the Matrix real quick.
Exactly. The fourth one just sucked. But it's like Al presents this opportunity. I'm it's a like, cool factor. Oh man, my warm up factor. I'm like judging everything, and I'm like, Al, I got a long warm up. He's like, all right, like you're lost, buddy. He's like, you had a chance to lift with the local legend. Do you know the bagel boss? Or the bagel boss doesn't know you. He knows me. Like, I regretted it after I started doing my little grandma warm up, but it's just, yeah, man, it's amazing. And I'm surprised they don't have like 2,000 members in that gym. It's like, you're surprised. It wouldn't be like a Walmart factory. It's literally like just casually you could walk in. I'm just assuming it's just the intimidation factor that more local people aren't training.
Yeah, I've been there. I think that's definitely a part of it. But yeah, man, no, I mean, you know, everybody there is like, you know, like unbelievably welcoming, unbelievably like generous with like time and knowledge and everything. Like, you know, it's a very welcoming environment. People are, you know, as long as you go in there and you're positive and like, you know, when you're there and you're trying to work, like people, you know, people respect it. People will help you out. And yeah, you know, it's an awesome thing. It's something I'm again, you know, like very, very grateful for. It's like, you know, I had some health stuff. Like I got two bum hips with five fucking screws in them. And definitely never thought that I would be able to be like doing this shit again. And you know, like everyone was very understanding of all of that. Like very like, all right, you know, play it slow, play it like, you know, get there. And yeah, man, it's quite an environment, but I definitely understand that like, yeah, it's intimidating when you walk in there for the first time, man. And you look up and there's the fucking, you know, Sarah and Weidman with the UFC championship belts on the banners. And then, you know, a dozen other UFC fighters, high level fighters. Like, I definitely understand how it's intimidating, but no, I mean, dude, if you're on Long Island, it's like something you've thought about. Like, I couldn't recommend it enough, seriously. And there's guys of like every skill level in there. You know what I mean? Like there's no shortage of absolute killers in there, but there's also guys like me who are just regular guys. You know what I mean? Like I'm not built like these fucking guys. I can't do the shit that they do, but I can still have fun trying.
There's the modest Mac, the at BB Harry Mac.
Yeah, exactly. Being modest. That's it.
How's it going with the ladies, man? Come on. You are a well-spoken guy. You obviously have confidence to walk into this temple of Shaolin Knights, as we're talking about. Come on, man. How's a single guy on Long Island? It's been a while for me.
Always good. I'm taken at the moment, but we're always doing good. We're happy.
Okay. How long?
Not too long.
What are we talking about, like 3 months?
No, like I don't know, like a little short of a year.
Ooh, the year is a big number, yeah, big milestone.
There you go.
How'd you treat the Valentine's Day?
It was good, man. It was good, man.
That's a big first Valentine's Day, very important.
Yeah, that's facts.
I feel like we don't want to get into this.
I don't do the personal life all that much. I try my best to keep it all separate, but Russ
doesn't want it out.
What are you gonna do? Yeah, exactly.
No, you guys do fantastic stuff at Bookies Basement, thebookiesbasement.com. Very casual, man. You are true to life. Maybe after you close your laptop, like your Quinta, and break it, you just slam it and you say, oh, fuck everybody. But man, the way you carry yourself is just super positive, because I've seen some switches change. Like, I'm like, I'm happy when
don't worry, I can be a miserable fuck, but yeah, man, you know, in this environment, what doing this stuff, I mean, dude, it's honest to God, like I really love this shit, man. You know, I love doing this shit. I'm genuinely like, it's all like unbelievable to me, you know what I mean? Like it's unbelievable that these guys give me the time of day. I'm like, I've said it a bunch of times, but like, I really, you know, I couldn't be more grateful for it. Like it is, you know, it's like, you grow up as a kid and you dream about like being on ESPN and all that shit. And then like, yeah, you know, I got to go do like PFL and all that shit. Like I can go into the ESPN app and like click on something and hear my own fucking voice. Like that's crazy to me, man. That's fucking, crazy
like,
to me.
On a press conference or like, are you
the post fight pressers at PFL were on ESPN Plus, which is, it's wild to me, man. Like, and yeah, like all, you know, all these guys who absolutely do not, you know, nobody owes you nothing in life. Nobody owes you nothing. Nothing's guaranteed. So yeah, you know, you just gotta enjoy it. I think that's really the key. You know what I mean? You can't fake being like genuinely passionate about something, as corny of an answer as that is.
No, man, you exude happiness. As simple.
That's not. I don't know if that's something a ton of people in my life would agree with, but and like I said, in this environment,
the cold calling, and that reminded me of the Will Smith movie, the shooting your shot, basically the pursuit of happiness, when he sees the list and he just goes straight to the top, and it end up working out, and it's, you never know, man. You can't get what you don't ask for. And I've
absolutely, man. I was about to say one of the few, you know, big things that I have learned in my short time on this earth is just that, you know, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. You know what I mean? Nobody's going to give it to you. Nobody's going to serve life up on a silver platter. Like you just got to do it. You got to chase it.
100%, man. And what are your media goals? I literally presented this to Ray Longo, of course, the great striking coach out of Law, MMA, Longo and Weidman, Mixed Martial Arts Academy in Garden City on Commercial Avenue. I presented it. I said, Ray, are you ready for the TV cameras to come in here? He goes, okay, buddy, okay. Because I'm serious, man. If I come across some contact, if I could, I don't know, connect with somebody from the past, you never freaking know. I could totally. Al Iaquinta is
a lot of characters in that gym.
Wildly entertaining. Justin, if you get him going, entertaining. Dennis, firm in his opinions, also entertaining, which is amazing. Steve Lee, that guy is made to be like in Congress fighting for mixed martial arts rights and fight. Like that guy is so well spoken, so cleaned up, zip tied. Yeah. Like, he's going to be like the next Frankie Edgar in terms of like the way he vocalizes and his passion and his respect and protection of the fighters. Like Steve Lee's in Ray's hand in the gym in the future, in great hands to Steve. I just think TV cameras, I don't know what MTV, they just show ridiculousness, maybe some streaming network, Fox or somebody. There is a space there for it, man. What is that? My goal is to get, I don't know, Matt, Ray, and the whole gang on the cameras. And of course, that'd be you and I getting on our airtime.
Like, of course,
being goofballs, filming while they're trying to spar. And then we have to like trip them for the cameras, you know, like Jersey Shore stuff.
Of course, of course. The whole some good old reality television.
Exactly. The whole dorm house. Did you hear the story? Like Bryce Mitchell showed up at the house. He's fighting raccoons with Pumi. Like,
yeah.
Had all that crap on camera. So I don't know. Maybe in a year, 5 years, we'll get the reality show going. But what are your specific media goals?
That's a good question, man. Yeah, I don't know if I have anything that like set in stone. I think it's just like, you know, at the end of the day, like, you know, I'd love to be able to quit my day job and just be able to make a comfortable living, like covering fighting. You know what I mean? I think that's the ultimate goal, right? I can't really ask for much else.
Well, you have the drive. You're literally like driving to these local places. That, dude, that's a step above. Like I worked with a guy who we have Daniel Cormier, Francis Ngannou coming in the studios. We're interviewing them for UFC 220 out in Boston. John Vellante's out there. Shane Burgos, Calvin Kattar. He doesn't want to make the trip. You got that in you, man. So it's like, come on. I know
you got to do, man.
Whether it's sitting on the toilet or laying on your couch after you smoke the blunt, what are some of your your dreams and maybe a year or 5 year goals? I'm fascinated by you.
I appreciate it, man. I'm not all that interesting, but
you're growing on me like a freaking ringworm.
Yeah, I don't know, man. You know, it would be awesome for the basement to take off, to be able to do it independently, you know.
Renovations, or you talking about the platform?
The bookies basement, yeah, the website. I think it would definitely be awesome for, you know, to be able to support myself doing that, do it independently, do it my own way. But you know, if not, we'll figure out whatever we gotta figure out.
What does that entail? Is that a 5 day a week show? Is that five-hour podcast? Is that live on-scene remote shows, live from the Mohegan Sun? Imagine we're sitting there with the live broadcast table.
Dude, I'm trying. You know, that's a fair point. I've been talking to some people. I'm trying to get on the desk at a regional show. That's one of my short-term goals. Get on the mic at some sort of local MMA event.
Okay, how do we do it? I know Ray does this thing with Lou. Ray knows Lou, knows Paul.
Right. Yeah, man. No, I've been honestly, I'm approaching it the same way. I'm just kind of hitting people up, and you know, we'll see what happens. Eventually, we'll make it happen.
Practice patience, man. You're really doing it, and I respect it. And
thank you, dude. I really appreciate all of it.
I'm about to name drop right now another person who practices patience, who like has the whole world ahead of him. I had the opportunity to watch UFC 271 with Justin Montavo, the Kid Marvelous, fighting this weekend, Bellator 274, alongside Aviv Ghazali. I had the opportunity to watch UFC 271 with him and his family, which was awesome. They didn't know that I was wearing a wire. No, I'm just kidding. But, it's amazing. Like everybody around him, you could kind of feel the energy like buzzing just for his success. I'm even getting excited. Like I was practicing patience in interviews and sit downs and conversations with Justin, but then all of a sudden I get excited with the family. Like, his mother's worried about what could happen. Maybe his father's excited when he could get into the UFC. It's just excitement. And Justin just sitting there, sitting on the couch, farting, just watching fights, taking it easy, digesting all that protein and peanut butter that he consumed. And it's like, man, just the amount of patience and the just sticking to the game plan. Like Dennis was literally like kissing the UFC with that fight against the guy that you pronounced his name beautifully, the guy with the crazy speed and knockouts, and he's
Melsick, yeah,
2-0
that dude can UFC. Scrap. Yeah, like,
I don't know how these guys practice patience. You've been around them a lot longer. I've only just popped in for interviews, but you've like seen them for hours upon hours upon days upon years. What would you say is their just like, I don't know, the everyday attitude that is just a perfect level of ambition that they keep? Like, how can you kind of explain that for us?
That's a good question, man. I think it varies to a degree, kind of person to person. You know what I mean? I think people have different things that motivate them and just different things that make them tick. But I mean, you know, definitely discipline, I think, is a big common denominator, that there's just kind of a higher level of discipline than the average person possesses to be able to, you know what I mean, get in that kind of shape and, you know, hone your technique like that, cut weight and all of that. So that would definitely be a big one. But I do definitely think it's kind of like it's subjective, you know.
Meaning,
like it's just like I'm trying to figure out how to best explain it. Like,
I thought you were going to just hit a home run, man.
everybody has different things that motivate them. I know that's what I said already, but you know what I mean? Like, I don't think there's necessarily any one thing that kind of unites everybody, other than like, I guess, you know, just being like a student of martial arts, like being there to level up and get better and train and, you know, and that's like top down, I guess, too. You know, that's not just like the high level guys, that's like the, you know, the everyday guys that are just in there too. Like, you know, people, a lot of people are in there just for the love of the game, you know?
Am I overthinking this? Like, is it just the blueprints kind of been laid with Weidman, Vellante, that generation, and then this generation with Aljamain Sterling, Yaquinta, and it's just Dennis, Kid, Steve, Pumi, they kind of lean on that. James Gonzalez and everybody. I don't want to miss anybody, but is it that simple that they ask their elders essentially? Like, I know they're maybe like 5 to 7 years older, but is it that simple? Come on, man. Like, you're there. You don't have a boom mic above the cage like that. If I'm in there, Ray, like Ray's like, why are you sweating? I'm like, don't worry about it. Like, I'm going to get grilled with the Goodfellas, man. Come on, give me some insights. You're the man with the,
I appreciate that. No, yeah. I mean, I think guys have a lot of respect for the guys who are at the top. You know what I mean? Like, I was in the gym on Monday and Aljo was there teaching an MMA class.
Okay,
and,
now we're talking.
You know, I'm still working, you know, I'm still working my way back into shape. I was sick for a little bit, so I wasn't taking class, but, just the way that, you know, when Aljo stops around and pauses to teach technique or you know, to show whatever we're drilling or whatever it is, like the whole, you know, it's dead silent. You could hear a pin drop other than Aljo talking. Like it is every single person is laser focused on him. And, you know, that goes for him, that goes for Frivola, that goes for Marab, you know, all of these guys, like, and, you know, not even just those guys, like, you know, Damien teaching boxing and like whoever's teaching the class, like guys, there's a lot of respect. You know what I mean? I think people, you know, people I think a big part of martial arts is like, you know, for guys at that level, at least, is being able to pass on, you know, what you've learned and kind of contribute to that next generation, like you said. So, yeah, I think that's definitely a part of it. You know, there's like a big there's structure in place.
Again, we're being joined by Harry Mack Daddy at BB Harry Mack on Twitter. Is it the same handle on Instagram?
Just at the bookies underscore basement on Instagram.
See, it's funny. We did the same exact thing. I got the double handles on Twitter, but I got the one handle on Instagram.
That's like, right. That's
like,
right.
You see where the tires start to slow down. Like, yeah. Yep. You do not have a TikTok.
No.
See, it's like that's the one.
That's like the one form of brain poisoning I don't have.
I heard it's like Facebook now has been taken over long form for the 50-year-old plus.
Right.
Instagram is now, and Twitter is the 35-year-old range. And then TikTok, it's the teenagers just running away from us. They needed their own platform. And Tinder's for everybody in between, I guess. But
right, right.
Man, funny story. I was just setting up, getting ready, went to the back, took off the jacket on that the rack, the clothes rack they got it there. It looks like the Salvation Army. They're trying the way everybody throws their clothes on the rack in the back of MMA. But Aljamain Sterling was getting changed, and then I kicked down the door. No, Aljamain Sterling was getting changed, and somebody was on the outside. They're having a conversation, and I respect this. Justin and I are really connecting because we're very similar in the fact that, yeah, obviously he practices martial arts at a much higher level, but we practice martial arts. Yeah, we could defend ourselves, but we don't necessarily like confrontation. You know, we're kind of passive, and it's like, we'll tell you exactly how we feel at a low level. And it's like, then we get upset when nobody hears us, and then we blow up, punch holes through walls. Oh man, it was a crazy party at Justin's house. Crazy. But anyway, Aljamain Sterling pulling no punches. It must have been a young guy who's trying to get into a pro fight. He had a up and down amateur career, and Aljo's like, "You're not putting in the work. What do you expect?" And the guy's like, "Yeah, man, but I'm better on fight night." He goes, "I'm a performer. I step up on fight night." He goes, "But you're not putting in your work." And I was just amazed. I was like, "Wow." I go, I don't know if this is who Aljo's been. Maybe his confidence is growing even more with the belt or after the Sandhagen, more of the attention, the podcast going on Rogan, like where it started, or maybe it's a day one. But that's pretty amazing that he's setting this guy straight. And if this guy doesn't listen, it's his fault. And I respect it. So when you're telling me like Aljo commands the room, I believe him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, there's like, you know, some guys have a presence, you know what I mean? And Aljo definitely has that.
Oh, man. What was it like after the Khabib, Yaquinta whole time in the gym? That week was crazy.
I wasn't there then.
Oh, man. Did you know that Justin was on the bus?
I heard that in your interview, right?
Wait, did you put the wire on me when I was in?
No.
I think the first time I heard it was, I glossed.
Or no, well, I'm an idiot. I heard that today on the MMA hour. They were talking about it.
Oh, I'm glad you're
confused. Felix Perez from the gym, one of Justin's friends, tipped off like Helwani's producer and told him some story about Justin. And they talked about it on the MMA hour, which was very cool. Helwani did.
Okay. Okay. Justin would have messed up Cocaine Connor. I think Justin could make it. That'd be a great fight. But I know we've been BSing for a while now. But to the fights, man, ROC 75, Dennis, James, let's start with that. Dennis' main event?
Yes, sir.
Of course, the featherweight title on the line there against Josh Roller. Oh, man, I think Dennis is going to steamroll through this guy. Another guy, he's got the backing of Albania.
Levels, baby. There's levels to this.
Do you think he's one big performance away from the UFC? Getting on an undercard? Or is it we're looking at the fall? Maybe he's that prelim, makes his debut at the MSG card.
We'll see, man. We'll see. Like that would certainly be fucking dope. And he's got to be on their radar. Like he put on a hell of a performance on the Contender Series. Didn't get the result he wanted, but since then he's been crushing dudes.
So
like you said, I think Dennis probably, you want to be respectful, but I think Dennis probably steamrolls this kid. Yeah.
You got an insight on his fight camp? Is this rinse and repeat? We obviously saw the performance he put on. Is he, as you mentioned, he's taking it to another level? Like, how's Dennis looking during the process?
Yeah, I mean, he was telling me in that interview that you mentioned earlier that he feels like he's healthier than than he's been in a long time. He was sick for a while. Had some issues with recovery after COVID, but he says he's back to 100% now. He said he went to Albania, got right up there, the clean air, clean mountain air. And I think he's full speed ahead. He's ready to go.
All right, Harry, at BB Harry Mack. We're going to add the daddy some way, somehow. Let's fast forward 24 hours to Bellator 274 Saturday night. Aviv Gozali, number 9 lightweight. Woo! Shout outs to Israel. Shout outs to Strong Island. Shout outs to Aviv, his father, Sarah Renzo. Henzo, excuse me, Renzo. Jesus, I sound like, hey, Renzo Chiacchini. It'll snap my head off in a second. But before Aviv, we also have Kid Marvelous, Justin Montalvo. If you could give us a little preview to what you and I will see in person on Saturday, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, I think Kid is, on the feet, Kid's striking is, it's very, very good, man. For MMA, the way that he hunts the body and just keeps working that liver shot and just doesn't, you see a lot of guys start with it and then they'll abandon it or they'll go to it late in a fight, but he is just persistent with it, man. And it just wears guys down. It really does. I mean, I couldn't believe that his last opponent in Bellator survived the 3 rounds, just taking a battering the whole time. There was a 10-8 round in there. Yeah, that guy took damage. He took damage. So, I think we'll probably see another similar performance from Kid. I think he should be able to outstrike this kid. And as for Aviv,
can he outdo 11 seconds?
Yeah, exactly, dude. The submission king, 6-0, 6 submissions. I mean,
I didn't know it was 6 for 6. Holy shit.
Yeah, man. Yeah, he's that jiu-jitsu is no joke, man. No joke at all. And his striking has just gotten so much better over the last couple of years, since he got to law, started training with Ray. So, he's still so young. He's only 21 years old. And Kid is only, Kid's 23?
25.
That's right. 23.
Elder statesman.
Yeah, there you go. Both so young in the fight game and with so much room to still grow and improve. I think both men walk away with their perfect records intact. Both guys keep their zeros.
Wow. Now you don't have to name names, but in the gym, man, is Aviv giving everybody trouble on the floor?
Of course, man. He's that jiu-jitsu is no fucking joke at all.
Cause you think like he might be like a prodigy now. I didn't know it was 6 for 6. You hear the stories about him and his father training with Matt. Oh, now you're looking it up. I see it in your glasses.
I'm making sure. I gotta
get
positive.
The anti glares because people see me.
There you go. Yeah.
But it's like,
yeah, 6 for 6.
If his father started, I heard, I think 20 to 25 years ago. I mean, around that same time, he sprouted out a little clone of him named Aviv. It's like, how long do you know this? How long has Aviv been on the mats? Is he like since 5?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fairly sure. I've listened to some interviews with him and stuff like that, and yeah, I'm pretty sure he started as a kid with his dad.
Could be like the Israeli version of 300.
Oh my God. Yeah, man. No, it's nice to have a fellow tribesman, you know, doing it in MMA at a high level where we aren't, you know, super well represented.
Oh, I thought you were Irish. Where's the back?
No.
Is it Mackle?
Mac is a what do you fucking call it? A pseudonym.
Age name?
Is that what it is? It's a name I write and make content under.
Okay, now I see the Stern hair. Okay. Makes sense. Oh man. Harry, you're the
your
man.
Boy's got a day job.
One day, man. One day.
Exactly.
Leave your day job. You will no longer have to lick Ray's ball. No, I'm just think of something funnier. That was bad. At BB Harry Mac on Twitter, at Bookie's Basement on Instagram. Harry, appreciate the time. I appreciate the insight, and can't wait to see you in person this weekend, brother. I really appreciate the short notice, man.
That's right, man. And yeah, looking forward to seeing you up there. I really do appreciate you having me on, man. It's a pleasure. We'll definitely have to do it again sometime.
What's up, everybody? It's your boy with my boy, Marco Beriando. And I hope they say it correctly for the Flex Fight Series, New York versus Florida 2 this Saturday, Patchogue, New York, where Marco is also 1-0, where he put on a dominating performance in his first fight. He's going for that 2-0, a very important second fight. A lot of fighters, you see them, they go 1-1 and they start to lean away from martial art. The second fight, you know, the first fight's an experience. The second fight, that could set you on your way. So Marco at Cali at Cali Jitsu on Instagram. Marco, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, man. Never felt better. Just ready to perform on Saturday. You know, weight cuts going smooth. Everything feels amazing. Never felt better.
Fantastic, man. Now I saw this. Is this per your request, the 140-pound catch weight? What's the deal with that?
I mean, to be honest, like, I'm looking to come for the 35 title. Like, I'm going to just throw that out there. I don't mind sharing my business. You know what I mean? Like, that's what I'm coming for, and somebody's holding it, and unfortunately, that's mine, you know? But I have been training, you know, and I do respect the person that's holding it because he is a good fighter. His name's Rocco. You know, I did my research on him. He's a Renzo Gracie guy.
Last name, yeah, so shaved head, right? Little beard.
Yeah. He's holding my belt, you know?
He's a tough cat.
Yeah, no, most definitely. But, you know, like I said, like, I do have utmost respect for him because he is, like, an outstanding fighter. I've seen his striking, and his ground game looks to be a par, too. But the catch weight, I'm not too sure what's happening, bro. But at the end of the day, like, I like to fight, you know? So at the end of the day, like, if they told me 40, 35, like, you know, I'm down for it. But 35 is where I'm going to be at.
Now, I'm starting to learn about these. You see on the Flex Fight guys, they're like, oh, I'm number 7 in New York. In my weight class, I'm number 2. I'm number 1. I'm like, okay. I'm like, wow, that's pretty freaking crazy that the number 1 New York guy is fighting the number 1 California guy. Are you that, like, locked in that it's like you start to turn into, like, a Call of Duty, like, your K versus D ratio? You're, like, very obsessed about it? Or do you just ride the Cali wave into the fight? What is exactly your mindset in between fights?
Just to be honest, it's whoever wants to get it, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, we don't, like, I think as a fighter, like, and like I explained this to everybody, because, like, the big question to everybody, like, every time they ran into me, like, when they see the cauliflower, they ask about fighting, and then the big question is always, what goes through your head when you walk in there, or, like, are you not scared? And the thing is, like, I sat there and I thought about it, but my natural response is just, like, if you think about it, once they close that cage, it's either he's going to fuck you up or you're going to fuck him up. You know what I mean? Like, excuse my French, but, like, that's just the way it works. You know, at the end of the day, like, I don't want him to hurt me. So at the end of the day, your instincts kick in. Like, when I told them, like, the first time when I stepped in, I felt like I was a gladiator in the Coliseum. They were just chanting for the kill, you know? And it's like, if the lion gets you, he's going to kill you. You know, but as a gladiator, you have to go and, like, take him out, you know? And that's where the celebration comes from. So that's just my constant, like, thought. Like, it's just, like, it's either kill or be killed.
Now, you wrestled, obviously. You were a successful wrestler. I've seen the tape of it. You mentioned your father was there for your matches. Man, you are, you're skilled, you're strong, you're fast, you're very strong for the weight class. Wrestling can be many matches in a week, many matches in a season. And Dan Gable quote, once you wrestle in life, everything in life is easier. You are fighting now. Have you figured out, you know, how to kind of, I guess you'd say, pace yourself for maybe the 4, 6, 8 weeks out from the fight, as opposed to training for during a wrestling season?
Yeah, most definitely. Of course, like, you know, a big thing, like in the beginning, it was like they were worried about my weight, like about weight cutting, but it's like, it's calm chatter. You know what I mean? Cause we like through high school, I do like, it's pretty fucked up, but like sometimes you even start stuff just to make weight. You know what I mean? Like, I remember there was times like some of my boys were like making themselves throw up in the bathroom. Like we would take laxatives. Like it's so much behind the scenes that I feel like a lot of people don't understand it. Like even today, like I was working, you know, and I'm just like not in the best mood because I'm cutting weight. So my meals are going down, you know, like my carb intake is low. So I just didn't want to be, I work at a gym. So like, just being around people, like, and everybody talking to me, I was like, fuck, you know, like, please, like, I'm just hungry, you know, I'm hangry. But to be honest, that's where it all comes from, man. Like, just, you know, being strong to be able to push through that. It's part of the game. You know, everybody says, why do you do it? It's just part of the game. You know, like, these are like, just like, you know, for example, you want to get that OT, you know, you got to pay rent at the end of the day. You're going to come to work and you're going to pick up as many hours as you can. Same thing with that. You know, even if you're, like you're feeling like your stomach's caving in, your organs are like rolling and stuff. Cause that's what it feels like, bro. I'm not gonna lie. You know, like, and like the dehydration part too is just all part of the game, man. And like, I feel like people fail to credit that a lot.
You're definitely big for the weight class. Again, we're being joined by at Cali Jitsu, Marco Barriondo, fighting this Saturday, February 19th in Patchogue Stereo Garden. Flex Fight Series, New York versus Florida 2. Can you give us some insight to how much? I've seen 140 catch weight. I know you're talking about 135. Are you floating in the high 150s?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now. So, I mean, for example, like my last fight, I weighed in at 139. I walked into that cage weighing at 155 pounds.
Damn.
Yeah. So my weight cuts are really well. Like, you know, like my weight cuts are like really good. And like, cause I'm aware of what could do it for me and what can't, you know? And I know what eating the wrong way will do to me and how much more work I would have to do to cut that weight. You know, like, right now I'm like, in between like 48 to 46, but that's just like watching my meals and stuff. But once I carb up and eat and everything, I'll jump back up to, 55, 58.
Wow. So more domination. What are some of the new techniques? Obviously, you have the strong wrestling breaks, base. You're learning the striking. Can you give us some insight?
Dude, I'm fucking excited to demonstrate my striking. Okay. I'll tell you that much. Because, like, I know he's expecting me to just grapple it out. Fuck no, bro. We can stand up if you want to, baby. I got a lot coming on. Like, wow. Not to sound crazy or anything, but I have some of the best coaches in the game right now. And, like, Xavier helped me a lot. Hansel Urena helped me a lot. Rob Weiser, his name's like Box Weiser on Instagram. You guys should check him out. Hell of a striking coach, like some of the best in the game. And my boy Chami too. He's on Warriors Nation too. He's a big help as well. Just looking to display that, man. I didn't take a second fight instantly because for one, I obviously had some jiu-jitsu stuff I had to take care of. I just won a title, but. Like, mainly, man, like, I just, every time I go out there, I want to be a new fighter. I want to be, like, to display why I don't belong in Amis no more. To display why I belong in a bigger arena. And that's what I'm looking to demonstrate this fight. It's going to be a better performance, most definitely. Like, I feel like my other fight was a lot of grappling. This time, I should be able to hit him in the face while he's on the floor. So, if I don't knock him out on my feet, then I should take it to the ground and I'll mow him there. But most definitely, I feel like... like I said, I feel like the best I've ever been in my life. And my hands, man, like, I mean, my kicks, everything just feel delicious, you know?
Definitely not for your opponent, man. This fight's going to be awesome, man. I'm really happy to see what you got cooking. How many teammates are going to be on the card?
So I have Josh. We got Michael. I have Kate. I have my son BG in there. Yeah, just four of us. Four of us, nice. Warriors.
Nice.
Yeah, 4-0, baby. Let's look to it, you know?
That's fantastic.
I believe in all my fellow Warriors, and we train hard with each other, just constantly pushing each other. Like, even when we're not in the gym, just constantly hitting each other up, just reminding each other, like, yo, you're a fucking Warrior, you know? You're about it, and this is your life, you know?
Now, have you seen are you the main event for this card?
No, I'm not. Unfortunately not. It's my brother is actually doing it. Josh Abrahams. He's fighting for the title against Adam.
Did you
in the main card?
Oh, Adam Levine or something? Like,
yeah, so my brother Josh. Yeah, he's doing it.
Yep.
Looking forward to that fight, man.
On shirt, my brother's gonna do it. You're the main event.
On what?
Watch. No joke.
Are you serious?
This is gonna be hysterical. Oh my gosh.
I was not aware of this.
So if we go to the events, can you see this?
Yeah, I can see it.
There we go. Flex. You see?
Oh wow.
Dude.
Oh, well, I'm not fighting that guy no more.
This is a sign, though. Main event.
Hopefully, you know, I'm looking forward to it. If it is, then, you know, like, I'm looking to clock in, clock out, put a bigger show than I did last time, you know?
That's why I was like, oh, shit. I was like, no problem. If Marco's got to blow me off, man, he's got the freaking main event energy. I get it.
Listen, man, I tell everybody, no matter who I'm fighting, no matter who I'm fucking with, no matter what company, what organization I'm fighting for, at the end of the day, my loyalty stands where it's at. Like, Warriors Nation, I'm sticking with them for life. You know, and, like, everybody who supports me now, I know what fake love feels like, and I know what real love feels like. You feel me? Like, and you out of everybody, like, you have been one of the people that, you know, like, you showed me love in the beginning, dude. I was working fucking front desk, and you gave me the utmost respect still. So for that, like, you know, like,
Man. You were freaking doing the Gable grip on me, kicking my ass on the turf. I was like, respect.
No, but, like, thank you, man. Like, I greatly appreciate that. And, like, even now, like, you doing this interview, in the future, I'll repay it to you even more, man. Like, when I make it big, you could, you know, most definitely be there as well.
God bless you, man. I don't know. I feel great things are coming for you, man. And we spoke before the recording about your social media influence. It's like, you got talent. And I'm starting to see more and more that, I don't know, we're right on the fringe of the Conor McGregor era being in our rearview mirror. You know, if you speak well, not only if you fight well, but if you speak well, carry yourself a certain way. Maybe it's, I don't know, Kevin Holland. Even Hamzat's pretty cool on social media.
Israel put on a good social media flex this fight, though.
Who?
Like, he said it himself.
Who did?
Adesanya, he went big on social media and on everything, like flexing in his designer stuff, bro. Like, he said he wanted to do it big, you know, and like I respect that. I fucked with that heavy.
I respect with the pulling off the pearls, the nails. Yep. Very yep. In touch with this feminine side. Or, you know what? I think we're really going to start to see, like, clothes websites. It's not going to say male or female. It's just going to be clothes. It's going to just be whatever you want.
So, speaking about clothes, I am having a clothing drop after I win my fight. So, after I win my fight, I'm looking to put out a hoodie. I don't want to go too much into detail as to what it is, but, like, it's going to be something that's mixed with martial arts and psychedelics.
Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, so it's, like, it's a really wavy, like, design. My friend Ness, he's a purple on jiu-jitsu. He's helping me design it as well. Like, I drew it out, but he's a graphic designer, and so he's making the image crisp, you know? So definitely look to cop that up, you know.
All right. And staying with social media, man, and what I was saying, the limelight's going to come, whether it's CES out in New England, whether it's the CFFC, whether it's ROC in the next step of your mixed martial arts pro career, God willing, just the camera and the limelight, it's going to come to you, man. It seems like you have talent, whether it's singing, whether it's acting, improv. It's funny when you do the emotional, when you do the comedy, when you, like, you're talking to yourself. Talent, man. It really is talent. Where does that come from? Is that just being a people person, or is this who you always were?
I mean, like, as a kid, like, I was always the class clown, you know what I mean? Like, I was pretty bad as a kid. Like, I love to make everybody laugh. That was my thing. Like, and I thought about it, like, and even thinking about it now and rephrasing that is like, when I was in school, they, like, I would always get in trouble and they would ask me, like, why are you doing it? I just like to make people laugh. That was my excuse. I like to make people laugh, and the kids were enjoying it. And they looked at me like, that's such a bullshit excuse. Well, guess what? I'm an adult and I still give myself that excuse because that's what it is. Like, I love to see people happy. Even if I'm in my shittiest point, I will forever uplift everybody around me.
I respect that.
Like, even like walking in New York, you know, no matter what, I just be like, hey, how you doing? Or like, hey, have a good day. Even if they don't respond, you don't know if somebody's going to their house to blow their brains out.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what somebody's going through. They could have lost their, like, their best friend, their girlfriend, their, like, their boyfriend, whatever. You know what I mean? Like, just with that little, hey, how are you doing? Could change everybody's life from here to here. You get what I'm saying?
Wow. Wow.
That's just the way I live day-to-day life.
And you are one of those cats, man, who makes things look easy. It's like, I don't want to hear about the successful guy who's just a pain in the ass to everybody around him. He's just like friction. Everything's grinding around him. I want to hear about the successful guy who makes things look easy, man. And you're a grinder. You put in the work, you put in the hours on the mat at your job, just as a human being, and you make it look easy. That I respect it.
Thank you. I greatly appreciate that. And like, that one thing about the job thing, like, you know, something I do want to say for whoever's watching this, and like, I'm even going to say this after I win my fight. You know, just for all athletes, I feel like I speak for all of us, just, you don't see enough of us and you might see not the best of us. Because life hits, reality hits, you know, financially, everything hits. We have to work because we don't make a lot of money off of this stuff. You know, like, you guys love to watch us, but like, you know, you could also support us. You feel me? So there's more than enough resources to be able to do so. And we're available for it. You want to see more of us, then help us out. That's all I could say.
Yeah, man. It's funny. You got the big four sports, baseball, basketball, hockey, and football, and it's like fighting, man. It's like 100 years ago. It's basically where you hear these baseball players who are playing for the Yankees, and then they have a full time job at like a factory, or it's a grind, man. This era, this generation of fighter, you might be on the wave. You're young enough. I think what are you, 22, 23?
I'm turning 23 in April.
See, there you go. By the time you're 30, it should be, man, like the minimum for the UFC guys, it might be 50 to show, 50 to win. So you never know. But
And that's good. But, you know, like the highest paid athlete right now is a soccer player. You know, no disrespect to soccer players.
Messi?
No, Ronaldo.
50 mil, something?
Yeah, about. He's the highest paid athlete in any sport. You know, so like. And, like, I'll tell you this much, man, like, no disrespect, like, to soccer, to any other sports, like, my pops, he plays soccer, and he loves it, you know, but at the end of the day, bro, like, it's like, they don't put a lot at risk like we do, you know, not for nothing, but, like, we go out there, like, even in training, bro, you know, we're out here, like, you know, like, pulling limbs, fucking hitting each other, you know what I mean, like, this shit takes tolls on our body, believe it or not, and I feel like I said, like, a lot of this shit takes, like, people don't take it into accountability. They just go, like, you know, pay a ticket. We don't get that majority of the ticket. And they watch the fight. And it's like, boom, boom, boom. Have a good day. And now we're fucked. You know what I mean? Like, now we're just like, okay, we'll wait for the next fight. Maybe we can make just enough to be able to live a good life or above average. You know? And so, like, you know, like, maybe at least for right now, that's the way it is. But for sure, when I make it big, I'm gonna look to, like, help a lot of, like, a lot of this social media shit. That's why I'm building it up right now. Like, I'm big on networking a lot, you know, no matter what I do, whether it's fucking TikToking, Instagramming, like, no matter what, bro, like, a lot of people do, I don't say downgrade, but, like, they do talk shit about me doing, like, TikToks and shit, you know what I mean? Like, and it's, like, it's okay with me, because at the end of the day, like, I feel like people are just mad because I'm doing what I'm doing, being me, you feel me? Like, it's just, you're, like, you might be mad because you're not able to be diverse in that sense and be okay with it. There's such a high level of fucking machismo in fighting that nobody is comfortable with fucking, you know, doing some funny shit or like, you know, like something out the norm. And I'm okay with that because there's more to fighting than just fighting. And I feel like everybody fucking forgets that. One of my teammates told me the other day, you know what we've been trying to do? We've been trying to have a little bit more fun because we forget to have fun. And that's the biggest thing, man. Never suck the fucking fun out of what you love to do. You know what I mean? Like, every day I show up, yo, I know I'm going to go see Andrew. You know what I mean? Like, go chill with him, have fun. You know what I mean? Like, seeing my boys in jiu-jitsu. I know we're going to be cracking some fucking jokes, talking about girls, like, all this stuff. You know what I mean? And it's like, that's part of it, bro. You know what I mean? You don't go to work, clock in, and just... No. You, like, actually, hey, what's up, bro? Like, dude, guess what? I just got to argue with my wife. Like, oh, this, that, and the third. Oh, you know what I mean? Like, oh, dude, did you see that girl in the gym? Like, bro, there's so much shit that happens, and people forget to live life. You know what I mean? But then again, don't get it confused, because, like, a big saying that my dad says, you can't be faithful to two gods. And what that means is, don't try to have a regular life with a million-dollar dream. You get what I'm saying? So, like, I can't be out here not sacrificing a social life while trying to, like, to become the best fighter in the world, you know?
Seems like you're enjoying the process, enjoying the journey.
Oh, fuck yeah, I love it, dude. It's my lifestyle. Like, if you look at my Instagram, this is all I do. You know, that's all my life consists of. And, you know, maybe here and there I'll go out with my friends, you know what I mean? Like, there'll be times, I'm not going to lie, there's times where I do slack and, like, I go out a little bit more than I should, but I know I check myself. Or maybe sometimes my friends will tell me too, yo, Callie, you're wilding, bro. Like, you know, you got to stay focused. I'm like, all right, cool. Thank you. I appreciate that. Those are your real friends. You know what I mean? Because anybody could be like, oh, you just won your fight, bro. Let's go fucking drink. You know, don't worry about the next one. You know, the next one comes, you get fucked up, and that's that.
I've seen now, again, we're being joined by Marco Barriando at Callie Jitsu on Instagram. He's fighting Flex Fight Series this Saturday, February 19th in Patchogue Exterior Garden, New York versus Florida 2. Better kick Florida's ass, even though I feel like New York and Florida is like cousins, like if there's like a state versus state relationship. But somebody fought at Flex in the same card as Pedro on October 16th, Justin Montalvo. Been getting pretty cool with us, pretty close. Really, he's a quiet dude, but once you get to know him, he opens up. He's 25. He's maybe within the next year, 15, 18 months of getting in the UFC. If God's willing, man, you never know. But his father.
I know who you're talking about. Kid Marvelous or something?
Yep.
Yeah. Dude, I love his body shots, bro. Those shits are sick. Like, I was there. I was actually there for his when it was Triton, when they fought in Tampa. And he dropped that dude, that white dude, the dude with the tan.
Yeah. Yeah, dude, I was just so hanging out with him. We watched that fight for the first time. I was like, man, this guy is tan as shit. It looks like Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yeah, he was fucking orange. And the fact that the octagon was like was red didn't help, you know. But of course, respect. He did put up a good fight. But Justin's fucking body shots, bro. Like, I really respect that, because that's one of the biggest things my dad tells me. Always go, everybody headhunts. You know, nobody really focuses on the body. And my son, dude, Justin, does a really good job of doing that, bro. So, utmost respect to you.
Dude, maybe one time, either I could try to get him to come down to Warrior Nations, because I got to get there. I've been slacking. I know I wanted to do this in person, and vice versa. If you could come out to Law on Long Island.
Yeah.
Dude, it's so funny. I signed up for Sarah now. I'm doing my thing. I don't know if you can see the redness. People elbow me. The fat older guys, they just lay on top of you. Starts talking to, like, man, you know that dude Andrew Franco, and I'm just like, I'm changing, you know, I'm just doing my thing, acting, holding a microphone above it. No. And all of a sudden they're like, man, that guy Andrew, and I go, do you want me to text him? They're like, no, we're cool. He beat us. We're cool, respectful. And I literally 20 minutes later, when this happened, I call Andrew. I go, yo, Drew, wake up. And he's like, what's up, 5-0? I go, yo, they're talking about you. He goes, what's new? And he just hung up the phone and went back to sleep. I go, that's a boss move. But
I'm drifting.
But my point is, you mentioned some friends, maybe they could pull you in a certain direction. What I'm seeing, being around Justin Moore, and where they have they're on the cusp, man, of getting that UFC 4-fight deal, and then you see where you go from there. Justin's father is just hammering home his circle that he doesn't want people pulling him the wrong direction. His father is like screened me, basically. He like, oh, what's your background? Oh, I saw you this on the site. Oh, you this. And he wanted to make sure that I wouldn't influence Justin in a negative way. And I had to explain that I train too. Like, I could diet, lose weight. Like, I'm about the grind. And it's like, I respect it, man. So basically, I'm letting you know, man, if you can't do that, those henny nights or some of the hangouts with the chica, all of a sudden she's like, yeah, just come on. You know, it's 3 a.m. Come over. It's like sacrifices, yeah, man. So, and yeah, I think you're the type of person that's ready for that grind.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, it's my life, dude. Like, and like, honestly, like I tell everybody, like, you go to work and, you know, you save your money for something bigger. So this is me going to work and, you know, looking to it for the bigger picture. I'm saving up for that, you know, and like all the knowledge I obtain, I'm looking to display that. And like everybody says, are you ever scared somebody's gonna catch onto your game? Never that. Because I'm always going to improve and I'm always going to become a better fighter, no matter what. It's a white belt mentality for life, baby.
Wow. Amazing, man. Amazing. So are we getting a title fight within this year?
Yes, that's the goal. You know what I mean? And like I said, I respect them, but you're holding something that's supposed to be mine.
Wow. Amazing, man. How's the personal life? How's the girl? How's the fam? Everything's cool?
Yeah, everything's cool. I mean, as far as like girlfriends, man, like I had a rough patch last year.
You said these girlfriends last with years. An S?
Yeah. As far as girlfriends, like in general, you know, because like, to be honest,
you
man,
gotta
like,
fight them off you, man, especially you're showing your personality. Dude, you are a catch, man. Just again, distractions.
No. Yeah, it's not. I mean, it's not even that. Like, you know, like I was just about to say, like, you know, like 2 years ago, I was in a little like a little phase of being like depressed over somebody. But like I dug myself out of that hole. You know, I just been focusing on me, man, like becoming a better me, because at the end of the day, if like somebody leaves you, you never want them to find you in the same place they left you at. So apart from that, like, you know, yeah. So like, because if he does like ever come back, bro, like I'm obviously you don't want to be the same person, bro. Like, fuck out of here. You want to upgrade, you know. But anyways, like going back to that topic, I just been focused on me, bro. Like, you know, anybody like that I even think about investing my time to has to be worth it, because there's just so much on my plate right now. Like, fighting is my first relationship. My job is my second relationship, you know, and sometimes like right now I'm not in school anymore, but like it's because I'm really focused on getting this title. But like that's my third relationship. You know what I mean? And of course, always the relationship with the higher power. But, you know, apart from that, like Earth has been treating me really well. And like I fuck with the energy that it's giving me. And I feel like there's a lot in my path that's coming up, and you know, I've been manifesting a lot. And of course, bro, like just positivity spreads throughout the whole plantation, you know.
Now, how are we looking? How many abs we got? I know you're normally ripped, but is this like peak shape? Are you like crazy shredded?
Oh yeah. I'm pretty shredded right now. Yeah. Woo. Yeah, bro. And when I get to the face-offs, you'll see, bro. Like I'm ready to take this kid out, bro, with all due respect.
Amazing, man. Amazing. And hit up Chris, hit up Nick, the owners of the Flex Fight, man. Keep pushing, man. Keep pushing. You deserve to get it. You speak well, you fight well, you walk and you talk. It's amazing, man. And only great things on the horizon for you and the Warriors Nation fam. Again, Marco Berry, Ando at Cali Jitsu on Instagram. Fighting this Saturday, Flex Fight Series, New York versus FL2. Let's go, New York.
Aru.
Let's go, Marco. Here we go, brother.
Go, Aru.
Back to you in the main event. Tough fight. I can't wait for it.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that's my brother right there, man. He works hard for his, and he's only been doing it for 2 years, bro. And, you know, he deserves it. He deserves it. He's a fucking hard worker, one of the hardest working like people I know. And hell of a fucking person, too, bro. Genuine heart, too. Amazing guy. Joshua Abrahams, man.
Hopefully 4-0 for the Warriors Nation on Saturday. And then you guys can enjoy the wonderful bars in Patchogue. That was my stomping ground growing up, man. A lot of stories. I've been knocked out there, and I've almost knocked up somebody there. I was dropped. Like, I got sucker punched. I got dropped. I remember the bouncer was holding me up, like he scooped me under my armpits, and he's like, "Are you good?" I go, "What the fuck?"
You were like, "Am I?"
Dude, I will enjoy the social media influence that you got going, and of course, what you do with your fists, work with your hands, you earn your money with your hands, and I respect it, Marco. Thank you for the time, brother.
Of course.